there was a feeling that Ceylon and India, I mean, however close, their parts were distinct.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't think we ever expected anything like unity. Or necessarily something in the same land. I suppose the Ranawa constitution, in fact, that was ahead of India, wasn't
it? Was, yeah, it was.
In a sense, so far as the devolving authority.
What about the elections under this constitution? Did you have any experience?
Once. I was in charge of a polling station just before I finally came home.
1945. Oh, not before that. Not in Jaffna. No. Well, it was boycotted.
Yes.
I'm talking to other civil servants. I wonder whether you knew anything about the elections and the electioneering methods.
No.
You already hinted at the fact that the people were rather easily misled.
I said I thought they didn't even know how to vote.
Oh, yes, I see.
Because I do recall now that it had to be by colour, didn't it?
Yes.
After all, ministry, vote green for Labour or whatever it was. And the colour itself, it was felt that the colour itself might influence the voters, red if they were Bolshe and so on. I've forgotten how the colours were allotted. I think purely haphazard. People weren't allowed to choose their colour. I mean, the socialist elite wasn't allowed to choose his or anything. But there was obviously doubt as to whether simply voting for a colour you knew what you were voting for. And anyhow, it was personalities entirely in that election. There wasn't a policy to vote for. But there never was.
And
no parties had been formed as such.
Caste played a lot.
Caste was there, not old, tremendous, you know, obviously.
Would you say that the constitution hindered the growth of parties, per se?
Yes. I mean, I should have thought that the... wasn't it meant to?
I think perhaps...
I'm not sure.
I should know this point, but I can't recall it.
I should have thought it was. I mean, the theory was an administration like the London County Council. Not that that isn't part of it. But I should have thought it did. I mean, the whole point there, wasn't it, was distributing, breaking up. The committees themselves, for example, should be as much a cross-section as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It would break up anything like racial groups to begin with, the committee system. Break up even caste or trade or any other distinctions.
Were you very aware of the communal differences in the political field?
At that time, no. I actually thought they were not very serious.
Mm-hmm. I think in the later election, 1936, didn't some people employ the communal line, some of the politicians?
In 1936?
Yes.
I can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it was natural, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, your communal differences were also your geographical differences, and therefore your electoral areas, surely. So a Tamil area would turn a Tamil and Sinhalese area and Sinhalese. And that would hardly ever be Trappist.
Mm-hmm.
Except the only example being Freeman. He didn't last, and the next time it was... He was defeated the second time.
Oh,
I think I'm right. Or did he die?
I'm not certain myself.
No, check that out.
Yes, I should.
It'd be an interesting point as to whether he was defeated.
Can you remember the reforms dispatch sent by Sir Andrew Caldicott, 1938?
No.
Mm-hmm. What sort of man was Caldicott?
Another demortuous, is it?
Yes, he is.
Will you regard him as a yes man?
Politician.
For everyone.
Oh, trying to keep on the good side of everyone.
Yeah.
You can get rather tickled that way.
Well, I think we reckon that he did. That he left people down.
Mm.
One thing he did, that you may say this is bias or prejudice, but actually I just distrust him, I say, or dislike him, dated from rather earlier. He was the person who turned, of course, the nomination in the House Council on technical grounds.
Mm. Well,
they were, in fact, being paid by their association.
Mm.
Of compensating. And someone got onto the point that this was that they were being paid to represent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and paid to represent, and therefore they weren't independent nominees of the governor or something. Anyhow, technically, he was right. And he just out of council for the lot. I did it my part, didn't I?
Oh, I see.
But anyway, I think everyone felt that was a bit of weakness and yes-manship.
Who brought pressure to bear on him? The ministers?
I've forgotten how it arose, I suppose so. It was certainly political.
Uh-huh. When you say that everyone felt that, who do you mean?
I mean all of us.
Civil servants?
Yes, I mean, it was not my personal, not a family prejudice.
Mm. Yeah, I was trying to be precise.
Mm.
When he came in this reform dispatch, among other things, he said that public statements in Ceylon were always exaggerated and always in superlative.
Yes.
You would agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the politicians?
Yes.
Yes. Is that exceptional?
Quite.
Perhaps more so now. Yes, I remember a person in council. I think the only time my wife often listened in council with me, and she was so amused. Painting a lurid picture of children having to go 5 miles through to school, still, through lion-infested jungle. He was perfectly genuine and honest, he just didn't think that he was stepping. Well, that's an example of things being painted in superlatives of lion-infested jungle in Candian province.
Can you recall the incident when the ministers resigned? There was some conflict wrong with Caldicott. Perhaps it was this issue that you mentioned earlier. 1941.
No, that wasn't the cotton control, because that wasn't during the war, it was before the war. No, I don't remember that.
And you were at one stage secretary to the financial sector.
I was, yes.
Who was that?
That was Huxham.
Huxham.
Yes.
He's not alive, is he?
I don't know. I would say I didn't dislike him so much as many people did.
Your name is?
He was very unpopular.
He was, with the civil servant?
Yes, with the service.
Why?
Extremely unpopular. They didn't trust him. They regarded him as an iron, I think.
Was he as a sort of try to keep on the good side of the politician?
He was, I think I should say, more in with them. I don't think he was a person who really ever becomes popular on any side.
Mm-hmm. Was he treasury minded?
Yes.
Yes, but was it very, very commentary?
I think so, yes. Oh, yes. He'd go into the minutest detail over a few pence or 10 pence. I mean, he loved doing it. He was an income tax expert, of course.
Yeah.
And so anything on that side was right down his street. And he loved arguments on points like that. Whether he saw the bigger view, I'm not sure.
In fact, this brings Stubbs to mind, because it has been said that Habsburg type who would be more concerned with details rather than with the general question.
I think that may be so.
Mm-hmm.
I should think Habsburg.
One thing in your service which interested me was temporarily attached to the colonial office.
Yes. That could be arranged if one wanted to.
While on leave?
While on leave, yes. One or two had done it before, and I thought I'd try this. And
yes.
So I spent, in the end, it was extended, and I spent a year at the colonial office. It was originally to have been 6 months, I think. Quite interesting, dealing with the thing from the headquarters point of view. A little hidebound. More so than we. I mean, what's a typical, a bit of a typical civil service.
Swedish for efficiency?
Yes. Now, a nice contrast. The person for whom I worked was another of these fearfully meticulous, fearfully conscientious, fearfully hardworking people. Every I had to be dotted and every T crossed.
Who was this?
A person called Sidebottom.
Yes, I heard the name.
And I was dealing with the West Indies, not so long at all. And he left the department, and when he left, when he said goodbye to me, he said, now that you have seen how we work in London, you will realize that things come here and seems to take a long time, but you realize that they are really being given the deepest consideration. Every possible thought is being given to them. The best brains are being employed on them. And if it seems it takes a very long time, well, you know that there's a very good reason. And he was succeeded by someone of a completely opposite type. So when I left, said, of course, now you realize, having worked for 6 months at the colonial office, that when there's a tremendous delay in replying to anything that's put up from the colonies, it is either because we've forgotten it, or because it's a bit of a thorn in our flesh and we don't want to deal with it, so we've got to put it aside. Or it's gone into the waste.
When it really
so you had both types there. No.
Who was this?
And the second one, I wonder whether it was Beckett.
Not beginning with C.
It wasn't Beckett, I don't think, because he was assistant secretary. And Sidebottom was
who was the Secretary of State for the colony?
The Secretary of State was I think Ormsley Godwin. What did it mean, Ormsley Godwin?
Quite likely. And how did he impress
him? Well, I didn't come across him at all.
Did you find?
I think so, because I was mixing it up for a moment. When I retired, I spent 3 years at the Board of Trade. So I've been a home civil servant twice, and that's rather overlaid in my mind.
Did it help you, or when you went back, this experience?
No, I didn't.
No. So Hilary Brad is one of the others who has done this sort of thing?
He did do that, I think, and then, of course, subsequently was promoted and served in other colonies. Chief Secretary and Governor.
You mentioned your Navy just now. Did you say he was out in Ceylon? No.
No.
I thought someone disliked Caldicott, you said. Your son, maybe?
No, it wasn't any personal. I've heard his contact with my father-in-law.
Yes. Haxham. You said including, yes, it was with regard to Huxham, I'm sorry.
I said most people, or a great many people disliked him,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't dislike him so much as no.
Turning to your work in the harbour, I'm not really interested in the customs work as such, but what did you think of the running of the harbour as such?
Of course, that was the other side, that was the Port Commission, which as a deputy collector, I had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
The principal collector of customs was normally double the jobs.
Yes.
A principal collector and chairman of the Port Commission. But after the arrest on Colombo, when John Strong came back as chairman, the posts were divided.
Right.
I became principal collector of customs, but not on the whole, I think the port was run reasonably efficiently by the companies. If you're asking me about wartime, I think not.
It wasn't, though.
No.
Not sufficient for wartime, anyway.
There were great difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about...
I'm rather prejudiced about this, perhaps. I have fantastic difficulties.
Right.
I'm a great friend of John Strong's. A person was brought in as port controller, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
A job created. A quite insignificant and important little man.
Mm-hmm.
Quite inefficient.
So he
got an enormous sense of self-importance. Now he came in from Singapore, Penang, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just before John Strong came, about a fortnight before. Got an enormous sense of self-importance. Direct access to the Commander-in-Chief, whose man he considered himself to be, I think, and who considered him to be his man. And in fact, he was quite extraordinarily inefficient, and always up against the real authority, John Strong, absolutely pulling in opposite directions, where he couldn't have efficiency.
Mm-hmm. What about the strike there was in 1941? Was it mid-1941 there was a big strike?
I've forgotten it. 41.
Or 40. I think it's 41, before Sir Franklin Gibson left. And some of the harbour workers went on
just
strike.
Just before the Japs came in.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about the conditions of these workers, whether this was a politically concocted strike, or whether they had genuine grievances about their salaries.
I've forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
If I tried to jog my memory, I should say it was Gunatilica. But that may be just imagination. In other words,
Gunatilica. Yes. Mm-hmm. What about these warfare companies? Do you think they were well in dealing with the workers? Were they in a position of advantage on the whole?
They were couriers.
Yeah.
After all, the planter was the warfare company of them. They treated them as good men. They were coolers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's rather our attitude, I think. We, the superiors, the snob civil servants,
mm-hmm.
Out there for an administrative job, idealists and so on. These planters and such like treat the natives as mere so much labour.
Mm-hmm.
They are superior to that.
Yeah, that is a general attitude. I was wondering whether this attitude was, whether you had this attitude towards politicians too. Not only Sudanese politicians, but politicians here, and particularly the Sudanese politicians.
Oh, I see. That we, the born governors...
Above all the tumult.
Above all the tumult. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Because, in a way, it's a natural feeling for administrators.
I fancy perhaps there was a bit of that among the older ones. As I said, I arrived after the Donemore Constitution, and so it didn't mean the same to me.
Did you have any dealings with St. John Jackson?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Attorney General.
Oh, yes.
I should have thought he was an extremely able man,
mm-hmm.
a lawyer of the best type, completely, utterly unbiased and judicial.
Mm-hmm.
That's my impression.
And what about Sir Robert Drayton? I think he was quite a personality.
I suppose something of... I don't think he was popular.
Mm-hmm.
I came across him.
Too legalistic?
I couldn't say what... oh, yes, I think I know, possibly. Too modern.
Tumori.
Yes, I was going to say, completely unappreciative of the position and status of the old administrator. Quite independent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I got that impression. Look, he did not regard us as if regard him as important, so on. I think there may have been a little of that at the back of people's resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think they resented him a little.
And just a sort of final question, really. What exactly did you have to do as a assistant controller of exchange?
Imports, exports, and exchange. That was simply wartime controls, limiting, restricting imports, from the point of view of exchange, largely, and restricting exports, controlling exports from the point of view of reaching enemy destinations, to some extent, so far as that can be done by a licensing system. I did devise a scheme by which to shortcut things. Telegrams went direct from my office or from our office to the Secretary of State instead of through the Governor's office. It was more or less routine. I did use it once to prevent an order of the Governor's getting through. One of my quarrels with Corbica.
Well, I like shortcuts myself.
Yeah.
I tend to hate red tape. What about Leighton? What sort of man was he? Difficult to get on with.
Distinctly difficult to get on with. He had no brain. Really.
Mm. But didn't he serve his wartime?
Well, Anthony barged ahead. I should think he served the purpose well enough, but I think we should have someone else who did better.
Mm-hmm.
Completely unprepared to listen to any reason. At all.
Mm-hmm. Brutal?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Oh, brutal, certainly. I mean, he had people kicked out of Ceylon, just like that. And would come out of the most impossible things. I mean, this must be done tomorrow.
Mm.
Utterly impossible. But you couldn't argue with him. Ultimately, you could possibly.
Mm. You must have had a lot to do with Oigo newspaper too, when you were...
Yes, because he became financial secretary while I was still in customs, before I left.
Because there are a lot of stories, there are a lot of gossip about his activities in wartime, but I don't know.
He was, yes, now I'm trying to think whether I know of any gossip, not that that matters. He was, without doubt, the most stupendous worker. I think he literally worked 2 or 3 o'clock every morning. I won't say throughout the war, because he was around as Allied controller. Which I think he did in addition to all his other work.
Wasn't Collins supposed to be that sort?
Collins was a very thorough worker, yes. Mm.
No, not a particularly brilliant man.
Certainly not. I don't know his book.
Pedestrian.
Yes, I've forgotten. Collins is the person against whom there are stories. Is he unreliable? I would say unreliable. Disloyal, you might say. To the individual.
And I thought, yes, another person was Sir Mark Fletcher. He would have been there at the start.
Not Mark, is it?
Well,
Sir Mark Young.
Mark Young.
Someone else.
Sam Fletcher, yes.
Yes. Completely distrusted by the good old civil servants.
Right.
I think. All I say is second hand.
Yes.
China's a strong one, Fletcher.
I have a feeling that he allowed politicians to go above the head of the civil servant.
I should think certainly. But speaking of second hand, I mean, the stories about him are so appalling that I just couldn't keep
them. Well, thank you very much.
It's not been very helpful, but...
End of interview.